Today's sponsor is Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/dolce for a free audiobook download.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 122. I believe it's 122. Should be 122. We're getting it. The number, Brandy, you'll figure it out when she produces this. The number's on there. You know what episode it is. We are back again at Dolce Diet headquarters with Samantha Coogan, Master Samantha Coogan, Master of Science, registered dietitian, Dolce Diet certified coach, but also instructor supreme. We have the Bob, client relations manager extraordinaire. If you have a gripe, Bob is the one that does not care.
I do not want to hear it.
He doesn't
want
to hear it.
Complete opposite of what he
every day. Bob, actually, we have relatively few issues. The issues are typically a technical issue or someone has a wrong address. Nobody's upset with our product. Is that true?
No.
You know how it goes.
How's it go? And we'll get into a little bit of what grinds Bob's gears later. There's a couple things.
Everything.
First, we want to thank our friends at Onnit. Go to onnit.com/Dolce and pick up your 30-serving pack of the Dolce Whey, 25 grams of grass-fed whey protein isolate, non-GMO, sugar-free, lactose-friendly, although it's lactose-free, but we can't say lactose-free, so legally we have to say lactose-friendly as a result of our cross-flow microfiltration process. It's also cold processed, retaining many of the vital nutrients in there. In my opinion, our grass-fed whey protein is as close to a whole food source as you can get. I would put it in the same category as a Greek yogurt. Samantha, would you agree with that?
I would agree. Yes.
See that? So it's not nearly as highly processed as most of the other proteins out there, which makes ours much more healthy, much more tasty. It is absolutely delicious. And some people have said, hey, Dolce, your whey protein, it doesn't taste like the others. It's kind of bland. And I said, that's because you're used to sucking down sucralose and sulfamine, potassium, all those artificial sweeteners. You don't even know what real food tastes like, homie. I didn't say homie. And that's the truth. And then after two or three servings, all of a sudden they said, wow, this is delicious. And our grass-fed whey protein is actually intended to be used as a whole food supplement with whole food sources. So if you look at the back, you can see our power protein smoothie, which is delicious. It is bananas and oats and chia and hemp and whey. And I think that's it.
Almond butter.
Thank you, the Bob. Do you like the Bob?
Yeah, it's cool.
He is known as the Bob. Mind. He's right.
Choice.
I don't care. That's cool. You should hear what we call you when you're not in the studio.
No, I'm sure.
So our friends at Onnit, make sure you go to onnit.com/Dolce. Use that /Dolce. You will save a minimum of 10% off your entire order. Also, Onnit just came out, and I'm on it right now. Get it? Onnit. Their powdered Alpha Brain, all new. It comes in a powdered form, obviously, in these little convenient sachets. Sachet's like a UK term.
Sachet, yeah.
They call it packets. Bob doesn't like it. He's out of it.
I hated it already.
So all of our European friends, you understand what I'm talking about when I say sachets.
Sachet
of Diorolite, which I'm not a huge fan of, but sachet.
Sounds inappropriate. I just sachet my pants.
This grinds Bob's gears, evidently. So check out the powdered Alpha Brain. I'm on it right now. You can tell if it's a little bit different. I'm also sucking down some of our caveman coffee. And what's the name of the new roast? The Sabertooth?
Sabertooth.
On the Sabertooth right now, and I made the invincible version of the Sabertooth. That is a tablespoon of grass-fed butter, a tablespoon of coconut oil, and oh my God, it's delicious. So I have the power pack. And actually, check out the Instagram page, the Dolce Diet Instagram page, and you can see some of the pre-workout smoothie that I made before this very podcast. And then I didn't show the caveman coffee, but I'll do that on another one. That's pretty easy. I've done that before. Anything else? No? Speaking of Instagram, have you guys seen how strong I am?
I do not Instagram.
Bob has zero social media.
Zero.
Which is actually impressive, and it's really annoying.
It's really annoying.
Bob is actually the one person on the planet that does not have any social media accounts. He has no Twitter. He has no Instagram. He has no Facebook. He has nothing. But Bob, look at this.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know what that is, ladies and gentlemen listening? Go to my Instagram page or Facebook page. It's on both pages. That is a barbell row hybrid with 365 pounds raw. No belt, no straps, no wraps, just man.
And by all means, people, please give us your coaching tips and cues.
Yes, and everybody, please tell me how bad my form is as I'm lifting weights three times heavier than you could back squat.
Your shoulders are rounding, and now your back is rounding.
I know. And no, actually, my back isn't rounding there. If you look, I'm actually hitting a hard arch. That's part of the Dorian H. So it's a variant of the Pendlay row, which is completely bent over, bar starting and ending on the floor, and Dorian Yates. Dorian Yates actually uses a closer hand spacing, and what that does, it keeps the levers longer. It keeps longer arms. Therefore, I have a greater range of motion, and you can see how long I actually have to pull. So it's greater muscle activation, and at the top, you hit a hard arch. Why do you hit that hard arch? You must hit that hard arch in order to fully activate the lat, because the way the lat actually inserts down near the hip. You have to hit that hard arch up, chest up nice and high. That's why I hit that hard arch. And if you pull up, anyone listening that wants to critique, pull up Dorian Yates barbell rows. You'll see Dorian does it almost identical, except he typically doesn't stop each rep on the floor, and I'm stopping each rep on the floor for force production because the Pendlay row will actually help quite a bit with my deadlift. So I'm actually doing these rows this way as an ancillary exercise to continue building my deadlift while also inducing hypertrophy. How do you say hypertrophy?
Hypertrophy.
Hypertrophy. Mm-hmm. I fuck up all the words. I have my own vocabulary.
They're just two different ways to say it.
Like my acylfame potassium. Like that's the way in my mind's eye. And how do you say it?
Acylfame.
So I see it one way and I pronounce it that way. I think I speak phonetically, which is I speak the way the word is written in my mind. In my mind.
That's one of the best things about me being a teacher is like I just feel like a genius because I can pronounce things that other you people can't. Pronounce,
I know. So I was like, Sam, how do you say that? And she's like, the. Oh, sorry. Thank you. So that's it. So check that out. And yeah, all the Insta gurus out there, the Insta coaches, please feel free to tell me how weak I am. And then I look at your profile page and I see you doing cable rows with 120 pounds on the stack, which really weighs about 32 pounds. And you're wearing your black hand gloves. Black gloves with straps on top of it, mm-hmm. And you have your little pink Valeo belt. Valeo. It's going like old school 80s ever bodybuilding. You know where I'm coming from. Just having fun out there. We appreciate all your tips, all your comments. I don't think no one's really bashing me. Now, speaking of bashing, I'm running right now. I'm venting and then I'll pass the mic
to
you guys.
This conversation,
it's the alpha breed. Yeah. I have so many things in my head that are coming
like
out right now.
Scene from 21 Jump Street when they're on the drugs. Are you on the drugs? No.
I'm on drugs. I am all up on the alpha brain right now. I feel awesome. Yeah. I think I can fly.
Your veins are pumping out of your forehead. Yeah. That's some serious thinking going on right now, let me tell you.
And thank God it's not today, but we're a very short period away from having this videoed also. When Kenny gets back, we're going to get the video set up. Yeah. Yeah. So get ready to do that.
The Bob will be signing off. This will be my last podcast.
Remember,
no videos.
You're on camera. I did the last deadlift session. I'm deadlifting like every 10 days or so right now, and just completely raw. And I haven't been deadlifting heavy in a long time. I went through the 20 rep squat cycle. Fucking awesome. The 12x20. We'll build that up for you guys later. But anyway, I started. When I got done with that, I jumped into deadlifts. First time I went on the platform, I pulled a 500 pound raw deadlift. Not bad for a 200 some odd pound guy. Low 200, 215 or so. 215 to 220. Phone. And then 10 days later, not even 8 days later, I walk in the gym and I pull a 525. I had 25 pounds and it actually moved faster and cleaner than my 500. Central nervous system was adapting. I got a little bit better with my form. I kind of adopted the Ed Cohn, Eric Lillibridge method, which was really digging my hips in under me, using the bar to pull myself in position. The first time I didn't do that, I just kind of used the Mark Ripito method, which is really just kind of you descend into basically a Romanian deadlift position, and Alan Thrall I think recommends that too. It's more difficult for me. My hips get too high, it becomes pure lower back, and I lose a lot of drive. I have a lot of good leg drive, so I miss that, just for those of you listening and care. So I adopted this more of a leg drive stance, I, you know, got my hips under me, loaded the hamstrings really well, pulled 525 relatively easily, and I get this dickhead hijack my Facebook page. And he writes like three paragraphs on how, what a shit form I had, and that it was a bad lift. And if he, if I want, he can hook me up with a world-class Olympic lifting coach. And some of the Dolce faithful, they jump on there and like, bro, are you fucking stupid? Like the dude just pulled, you know, 2.5 times his body weight, completely raw, no belt, no straps. And you think he doesn't know some of the best strength coaches in the world that he can actually talk to and critique the form? Mind you, I lift at Iron Annex in Las Vegas right next to Stan Efferding. Stan Efferding, who's pulled over 800 pounds multiple times, squatted over 900 pounds in total, 2503. You think I'm not lifting side by side with some of the greatest strength athletes on the fucking planet? But I digress. And I pulled this dude's Facebook page, and of course he looks like he's 140 pounds with a beer belly.
Like a chicken.
Like, and I'm like, dude, like who the, it's not like if Ed Cohen says, yo, your form's off. Yes, sir. Now, I'm not so egotistical that I think my form's perfect. And I say constantly, my form always needs to be cleaned up. That's the reason I train. That's the whole reason I go back to the gym every day, is because my form always needs to be fixed. Well, I just changed my form and I'm starting this new deadlifting cycle. Anyway, and this wasn't even a max pull. What this was is me trying to figure out leg drive. So I'm playing with 525, trying to figure out leg drive, feeling like I can probably pull a 600 pound right now. For those of you that care, the strength heads out there. So this dude comes back and now he starts attacking some of the Dolce faithful, some of the members on the site that were like, bro, what are you talking about? Fucking clean lift. Now, I'm a former competitive power lifter. Any federation that gets 3 white lights, no problem. So this dude calling it a bad lift. But what also struck me was he said if he was saying that I need to drive more with the balls of my feet on the deadlift.
The balls of your feet.
Which right there shows he has no fucking idea what he's talking about. And the fact that he wanted me to go to an Olympic lifting coach shows he has no understanding of what the deadlift is. The deadlift is it's from the art of powerlifting, the sport of powerlifting. Olympic lifting is a completely different sport.
People mix those two up all the time, and it's frustrating when you actually lift. To hear people talk about powerlifting terms versus Olympic lifting terms.
Totally it's, different. It's rugby versus football.
Yeah.
Awesome sports. I'm a big fan of both sports, and I have friends who are high-level lifters in both sides. Completely different sports. There is more toe drive in Olympic lifting when you're looking at the snatch and the clean.
Yeah.
You need a little more. It's called triple rotation, triple extension of the hips, the knees, and the ankle joint in order to move the bar properly. In deadlifting, it is not. You need to be firmly planted on a completely flat foot. The bar needs to be centered over the middle of your foot. Too far forward, you're going to miss the lift. Too far back, you're going to not have the clearance. You're going to miss the lift. So listening to Stan Efferding, again, 800-plus pound deadlifter, he actually, I think he broke the world record for the 275-pound class. I believe he still holds it as far as the total goes. Ed Cohen, Eric Lillibridge, all say you have to drive with the legs. If you're minimizing your leg drive, you're not nearly going to pull. And it's getting that leg drive until the bar gets right about to knee level, and that's where the pull. So it's actually, if you want to break it down, it's a press with the legs, and Stan actually made a great point. He said the deadlift is basically being in the bottom of a leg press position when your knees are stuck all the way to your chest. If you visualize it that way, and if you push with your legs that way while simultaneously pulling with your back, you're going to move more weight. He's absolutely right. Now, a lot of guys, a lot of lifters out there, guys and girls, because they both have high ends, they just pull. It becomes more of just really a hard arch and pushing the hips through. I used to pull that way. I did a lot of high hip deadlifts, and I moved big numbers. I always moved over 500 pounds because I'm fucking strong as shit. But it was below my max, and I have extremely strong hamstrings as a result of that. I can walk in the gym and hit, you know, Romanian deadlifts and stiff-legged deadlifts with 400-plus pounds for high reps, no problem. Arch-back good mornings, I can easily go over 300 to 400 pounds again. I've gone over 500 pounds, no problem. And so going back to this douchebag, so he starts going on telling these guys that they obviously don't know me as well as he does. Dude, I don't know this fucking kid. I don't recognize his name. I don't recognize his face, but I do see he's from Portland, Oregon. And I do see he has, on part of his friends, we share 4 common friends that were associated with Team Quest back in the day, of which I was the head strength coach for 5 years. So I go on. I say, hey, interesting points. I'd love to see you show us a side view of exactly what you're talking about with similar, with a relative weight per body weight. Well, he comes back in and just says, Dolce, like, I knew you were a fucking douchebag. Like, everybody in Oregon thinks you're a douchebag. That's why, you know, we talk about you behind your back, blah, 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 blah. You know, just says all this mean, nasty stuff about me. And I kind of laugh because, and I look at what he's doing as a profession. And I'm not going to say what he's doing because I'm not belittling his profession, but he is not paid to work in the strength and conditioning field. He has nobody paying him to coach him. Although he has what he listed was like 10 different, you know, Cracker Jack certifications, as I like to say. He just went online, paid a couple $100, passed the test, and all of a sudden he thinks he's an expert when, number one, he looks like shit. Number two, he has no clientele. Number three, he has no resume of experience, but he's certainly going to jump on and tell other, and I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure it's everybody he's going to run around and critique. So as, when I saw that, I said, listen, man, I'm really sorry that your life sucks so much. You feel the need to spend so much time posting on my wall.
Loser.
Like, yo, like, your life must really suck in order to, like, come out and have to say all that stuff. You really grind my gears.
Hey.
Evidently. And I said, you know, just delete the page. Don't follow the page because the positivity that we have on there, if you look on our page, all of our posts, we're always supporting each other. Whether somebody lifts the bar for the first time and they've never lifted before, or they hit a triple or a quadruple bodyweight deadlift or squat, which is more than I can do. Fucking awesome. Everybody gets applauded on our page. And this dude just can't handle that. So, buddy, I won't say your name. You're a turd.
I could probably deadlift more than him.
Sam, absolutely, Sam, absolutely. Sam is a double bodyweight deadlifter, double bodyweight plus, right?
Yeah, 255. I can't do the math.
We did the math last time. Yeah. I think it was like 2.53.
Something like that.
Let's see this.
From close to 2.5 something. 2.36, I think.
Look at you. So what else do we have to talk about today? As I'm looking at Sam's 250, how much?
255.
255 and 108?
Yeah.
2.36. 11111.
That was just from memory. That was not my math skills.
Yeah. I don't know. She. That's her license plate. 2.36 times. Nice. So what else do we got? We got some questions. Do we want to answer questions? Bob, what grinds your gears lately?
Everything.
Yeah. Bob walks in.
I wake up.
Morning really grinds my gears. That damn sun has to come up every day and interrupt my sleep.
Damn it. Why can't I sleep?
How about Barkley? How's he?
Barkley's good. You know, growing.
Who is Barkley?
Being a dog. Barkley's my dog. He is 7 months old. Chocolate lab. Super cute. Super funny. Super rambunctious. That's what he does.
Jumps really high.
Like over
6 foot fences high.
Like really high.
And doesn't really know high. That like he shouldn't do that or it's dangerous.
He's just not very, I don't want to say not intelligent because he's super intelligent, just doesn't understand the concept of not jumping.
Yeah, he's just a baby still.
Yeah.
The Barkley.
I'm going to get shit for this for my friends, but apparently today is National Cat Day.
National Cat Day.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean? We have to worship the cat.
Celebrate your cat like you do every day, I guess.
I know. Every day is National
Cat
Day, right?
They're the most demanding, non-giving back animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mine looked at me last night like, I'm going to kill you in your sleep.
Yeah.
She's so angry.
Because you didn't feed her in a timely manner or feed her enough or pet her enough.
I had to lock her out of the bedroom because her hair.
Oh, busted.
Exactly.
I'll find my way in. And how many do you have, Sam?
Four cats. This is exactly why I'm going to get shit for her.
Whoa.
My friend's like, you crazy cat lady.
I'm not saying anything.
So bad. So Halloween's coming up. So of course everyone's sending me crazy cat lady costumes. And
are you going to dress them up?
No. God.
Are you going to dress?
They probably would murder me. I know it's really bad. Once you say it out loud.
Once you say it out loud, it doesn't sound as. Yep. But it's nice.
I hear about it constantly.
I bet. Do they all get along? Is there like a clique or a gang or is there the alpha?
They all get along for the most part. The one's named after Tig from Sons of Anarchy, but she's the one who's Gotcha. She's being a little bitch lately.
Of course.
She doesn't like the newer cat.
Ooh. And yeah. Bob, you have Foxy. Bob has a cat also.
I do have a cat.
Long-time cat.
Long-time cat. Found her in a dumpster. She's a little kitten.
Literally.
While getting ice cream at Cold Stone Creamery. Probably shouldn't mention that in the Dolce facilities, but...
This was pre-new Bob.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. We all enjoyed a little Cold Stone in our life at some point or another.
Some point, yeah. Could you imagine eating that now?
No way. Well, I could imagine it, but I wouldn't imagine how I feel after it.
Yeah, right? When was the last time you had something like that?
Probably about 7 years ago when I found the cat.
Yeah. I never went back.
I just got done reading Lone Survivor, the book by Marcus Luttrell, that covers the story of a Navy SEAL, highly decorated Navy SEAL, and what he encountered in the hills of, or the mountains of Afghanistan during the hunt for Osama bin Laden. And it was he and three of his SEALs, his teammates, what they went through was just astonishing. Amazing story. I mean, I ripped through it. It was like a 350-page book or so. I ripped through it in, maybe a day and a half, 2 days, while traveling and while being rather busy. I couldn't. I was waking up early to read it, reading a page on the tram, you know, getting off the plane, going to the escalator. I'd like just read like a paragraph. It was one of those books. I highly suggest if you guys are interested in this book, you can download the audio version of it, which I love. You can download it for free right now, which is pretty cool that our sponsor Audible allows this for you guys. So if you go to audiblepodcast.com/Dolce, use promo code Dolce, and you could download Lone Survivor, which is awesome. And it's probably a $30 download. It's probably $30-$40 book. I highly suggest it. If you want to be entertained, if you want to be motivated and inspired, it's a great story.
News this week. So the World Health Organization, I always call them the World Health Order accidentally, and that's a whole nother thing. So it's not, it's the World Health Organization basically, not basically, factually came out and said processed meat causes cancer. Says the WHO, World Health Organization. I am on CNN.com, but every major news outlet has covered it. And the World Health Organization said Monday that eating processed meat such as sausages and ham causes cancer, while unprocessed red meat may also be carcinogenic, which would be also potentially cancer-causing. Mm-hmm. So the WHO's Cancer Research Unit now classified processed meat as carcinogenic to humans based on evidence from hundreds of studies and linked specifically to colon or colorectal cancer. Now, mind you, we have not reviewed any of these studies, so we are just reading the news item as it came out. So we don't have a complete opinion on this, just to be clear. I know some other individuals in the community are out there doing the same thing as we are. We're doing additional research, and we will speak to you more on it. But what I would like to say is that in 2011, 2010, when we wrote 2011, when we published Living Lean, you will notice that there is no red meat labeled or listed in Living Lean. And why is that, people ask? And when it came out, people said, Dolce, what's up? There's no red meat. Do you not suggest it? Do you not endorse it? And what we said at that time is we do not endorse conventionally raised red meat because of the potential health effects, negative health effects. Now, we certainly do endorse certain types of red meat, but the only type that we do endorse is wild caught. And that's the difference over the last 4 years or so. The same thing with organic. Organic 5 years ago, it was hard to go to the grocery store and get organic foods. Now, you go to almost any grocery store in the country, mostly in the world, and you get organic, no problem. Most of what you need. So as times have changed, so has our content and what we suggest to you guys out there. A lot of what we do is based upon geographic ability. We don't say, hey, this is the best thing to eat, therefore you must eat that or you're completely wrong. No, we tell you what you should be eating based upon what's commercially available and hopefully help you guys find ways to source that. So when we did release Living Lean in 2011, we did not include red meat for very much the same concerns as now the World Health Order has put forward. And even when I created the UFC Fit program, we did not include red meat or dairy products. And that was released right about the same time. It was created in 2011. It was released in 2012, right about the same time when the availability of healthy versions of these products were not generally available. And one of our counterparts over in the UK from their dietetic association, they basically wanted to flag the release of UFC Fit because we did not include processed red meats and we did not include conventionally pasteurized, non-organic whole milk. And we were shocked. Samantha and I, we sat and stared at each other. We're like, what are you talking about? And I think one of the things was they wanted us to have milk because it has calcium. Mm-hmm. And all the science behind calcium coming from milk is negligible, though it might be contained within the milk itself. How much does your body actually absorb?
You have to consume it with a vitamin D, first of all, in order for it to absorb properly. And you can't absorb that much at one time. Plus, most plant-based sources have a ton of calcium, like spinach and broccoli.
Yeah.
Probably have, I think, higher amounts of calcium per serving than a glass of like 2% milk.
And that is all contained within the Living Lean program and within the UFC Fit program. So we made sure it was completely built out. And it was actually ahead of the time. And this is what I say quite a bit, is that what we do here, we're ahead of the published scientific reports. It doesn't mean that we're ahead of the knowledge. I think we're on par with the knowledge, and maybe through our practical experience, we come up with similar or slightly advanced hypotheses as a result of the work that we do and the elite athletes that we do in turn work with. We're able to be ahead of these curves. And we see here 4 years later, the World Health Order comes out to similar conclusions to what we had prior to 2011. It's pretty interesting. Now, does that mean you should not eat meats? No, not at all. It does mean you should eat wild-caught meats. And I'll go a little further. That the organization defines processed meat as any type of meat that is salted, cured, or smoked to enhance its flavor or preserve it. Processed meats generally contain pork or beef, but may also contain poultry. It's any processed meat. The World Health Order now classifies processed meats in the same category as smoking and asbestos, based on its certainty of a link with cancer, but stressed that did not mean they were equally dangerous. So eating red meat might not be as bad as smoking a pack of Marlboro Reds a day, but it's certainly not a good thing to do. And I think when you add everything together, that's when stuff really gets scary.
Yeah, it didn't really surprise me, though, when that news came out. I mean, the nitrate content in that stuff, like, it's a foreign chemical that you're putting into your body. So anything, I mean, once you put anything foreign, free radicals are going to start to be produced. So it didn't really surprise me.
Yeah.
I think, you know, sorry, paleo people.
So, and paleo.
Put on that bacon.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the paleo community has just been getting beat to shit by science this year. Because as we spoke about on the last episode of Diet Fads Debunked, we actually spoke about paleo, how they push that, you know, no grains, no grains, no grains. A Paleolithic man didn't eat grains. And yet comes a major scientific finding that, no, in fact, the Paleolithic man did, in fact, eat grains. And he was actually rather advanced in their way to process the grains. Yeah. So, which is, I mean, very similar to what we do today. Shows you how intelligent they were, and it just makes perfect sense. Of course, grains were available back in those days, and when you're fucking hungry, you're going to find ways to eat.
Yeah.
And they're going to figure it out pretty quick that they can eat the grain. So, the paleo, unfortunately, is some good things about it. I'm not bashing the community, but at the same time, it's a fad diet. And I say that with the utmost respect. It's better, certainly, than, you know, not following a meal plan. But again, now you have to watch out the processed meats, which, again, we have been saying since day one, to avoid the processing, to avoid these. Now, we do have turkey bacon, let's say, in our 3 weeks of shredded, but we suggest and endorse, we only endorse a nitrate-free, sodium-free source of bacon. And was it Applewood Farms, I think, you know, through Whole Foods sells a great one. And yes, it is a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Sprouts has a bunch of organic, you know, nitrate-free versions too.
There we go. And that's what we're looking for. And I'm happy to pay a couple extra dollars to have things like that that aren't going to risk my health, knowing that when I look at my meal, the meal on my plate is only going to be about $2. And then you go to Subway and you'll spend $5, $6, $10, $12, no problem. That's a day's worth of eating if you're actually a frugal shopper still using finding organic sources. Interesting. So, and then, of course, the meat industry cries foul and they're blah, blah, blah. They're going out and saying that it's bullshit. you know, and of course they're going to, but I think we all know it just makes perfect sense that any, you know, especially overly processing every anything is going to be negative. And that's why we talk about wild caught. We talk about earth grown. We talk about as natural as possible, as fresh as possible, as close to the point of consumption as possible. That's starting right in your backyard, in your kitchen. If that's where you can get your food sources from, that's the best way. Then you go to your neighbor, then you go to your local farmer's market, and then you go to the organic section inside your grocery store, and you try and find only foods that come from as close as possible. With us, we're looking for California-raised produce. We're not looking for produce raised in Ecuador or even as far as Mexico, though that's not very far here from the United States or from Nevada, Las Vegas, but we're trying to get as close as possible.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, too, like, so when people go to research different topics and things like that, look at the terminology, because a lot of times correlation doesn't mean causation, and a lot of people tend to think so. This study is obviously brand new and we haven't researched it, but don't take certain headlines at face value. You know, don't go out running around telling people, oh, I had ham every single day for a week, I'm going to get cancer now. Like, that's not necessarily the case. That's not what the study is saying. So make sure that you're reading and researching what it's actually saying to you. Use a thesaurus if you have to. Look up the words.
Whoa.
What you're reading happens all the time in college research studies. It's so frustrating. Like, thesis defense. You know, students will come in and, well, there's a correlation between me putting my socks on at 2 a.m. and having to go to the bathroom an hour later. There's no connection there. It just happened to be that you did those in that order.
That is true. And is it, say that again, causation?
Correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation.
There we go. I hear that all the time, and I'm not going to say it because I'm going to bend it so far out of context. People aren't going to know what I'm talking about.
What exactly makes a meat processed meat? Because when you go to the store, sometimes you see, like, in the packages and, like, oh, wild caught. Like, my salmon sometimes I'll buy that I make, you know, these salmon cakes with. I get them in a can, and it's, like, wild caught salmon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming they're processed at some point. To get inside of the can, I just, you know, I'm curious what separates processed from unprocessed, if that makes sense.
So most products do have to be processed in some way, but if there's some type of preservative in there to extend the shelf life.
So them just adding.
Yeah, so like things with like bacon or ham or any of those types of things are like beef jerky. It's smoked and then there's salt added to it to preserve it and to extend its shelf life.
Right.
So anything that basically, for the most part, anything that can sit on the shelf for a long period of time, but then things like ham, like, a lot of deli meats have a lot of flavor without having to do anything to it. And right. When there's a lot of flavor already in there, it's been heavily processed. You know, like most cuts of chicken, for example, they're pretty bland until you add seasoning to it. But like deli meats, you wouldn't have to. You could just eat it, you know, right out of the package.
Yeah, and again, it's always best. So when we talk about wild caught, we want to try and find wild caught salmon that's still, you know, flopping around on the deck.
Right.
That maybe was, you know, iced and sent for processing. And by processing, I mean filleting and freezing. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, if you can get that, that's minimally processed. And I don't think that would fall into what the WHO is actually saying, because it would be salt-free, would be nitrate-free, it would be preservative-free. It's just simply taking a live organism.
That's the thing with the term processed, too, is a lot of foods do have to go through some processing in order for them to be safe for us to consume.
Right.
Yeah.
So people kind of like run with it. And there's overly processing, the minimal processing, like Mike just said, like just making sure there's no microorganisms in it and it's going to store safely and travel safely. So
yeah, and that's really the case. So I think ultimately you look at like the berries, the frozen berries that we look for are flash frozen. So they're basically picked, they're flash frozen, and right there that kills all the microorganisms and it preserves them, and then they can be shipped here retaining a very high level of nutrient density. Now, other berries that are sprayed, they are treated, you know, or canned for sure. You know, most canned foods, unfortunately, they will have a higher level of processing, just like Sam said, because of shelf life, and the possibility for contamination is much higher. So you have to be really careful for that. So canned products are more long-term zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, beans we'd actually have to look into, like canned beans.
With a lot of canned stuff, too, if you rinse it, you can rinse off a lot of some of the preserving agents, like the sodium and stuff like that, too. So if you're going for it, like, there's a lot of organic canned beans, though.
Sure, which we do use. And I should say, if you rinse them, it'll dramatically reduce the incidence of flatulence. Bob knows all about that.
And then if you were to, like, if you wanted to get fruits or vegetables and freeze them on your own to save them for later, you should blanch them first. That helps retain a lot of the nutrient value, and then make sure that you freeze them.
Describe blanching.
So blanching is just kind of a quick process. It sits in water for hot water for a minimal amount of time. It's not boiling by any means, so it's just enough to kind of, you'll see a slight change in color. I think it sits maybe a max of 2 minutes in the water. Take it out and then just freeze it.
And you don't have, we can look up, you don't have any Fahrenheit temperature.
No, not off the top of my head. Okay. Just basically boiling water, yeah.
And maybe we'll do a blog on that. Actually, that's actually a good one. I like that one. I like that concept too, because you know, right now we have literally, I'm going to bring a whole basket of pomegranates for you guys. Because we have our pomegranate trees in full bloom right now. It's amazing. We probably at least have 50 to 100 pomegranates that are ripe and ready to go. Mm-hmm. We certainly can't eat all those. So we're going to try and find a way to preserve them. Because that's, I mean, smoothie. Like, yeah. I'm thinking just year-round smoothies. Yeah. We're going to create a bunch of packets, and we're just going to turn it into, you know, frozen. So we can just throw it in the Dolce way and make some pomegranate smoothies. But also eating them fresh. I mean, we're having like one a day at the house. It's so awesome.
The lime tree, too, is looking awfully... weighing that those branches down.
Yeah, we got a lime tree in the backyard too, and that's in full bloom right now, which is awesome. So tell Jamie to start whipping up some ceviche.
Yeah.
That's our shit.
Guacamole.
Guacamole. Yeah. What else we got? What else do we have?
Halloween's coming up.
Halloween is coming up. What are you guys dressing up at for Halloween?
The Bob.
Whoa, again.
Boom.
You're going to scare all the kids.
Hey, Haley costume.
That's it. Bob in a bathrobe. Cup of coffee in hand. You really grind my gears, kids. Yeah. Stop knocking on my door.
Get off the lawn.
What are you going to be, Sam?
Probably Rockabilly Girl.
Rockabilly
like
Girl.
Like my tattoo that, you know, these two have obviously seen. But
sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So. Okay.
Easy to do.
I don't think the Mike Dolce Show listeners have seen your tattoo.
The world has seen it. I don't think so. At the seminar, I think I was wearing pants, so no one would have seen it. It's on my,
I hope so.
Now that I've just said that, yeah. It's on my outer thigh in an appropriate place. That
appropriate.
Seen in short.
It is appropriate. If you see any of Sam's CrossFit-styled competitions, yeah. You might be lucky enough to see the Rockabilly tattoo. Yes. Sam is a little bit of a, we talked about her music last time. What do we call her music? Interesting.
Angry.
Totally outside of your personality.
Super.
I was just going to say, so yeah. Me and my boyfriend go to the movies the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing like a teal top, a little like salmon hoodie with like cut off shorts in my Vans. And I think I had like Slipknot playing when we got in the car. He goes, how does this person listen to me?
I know.
He's like, it just makes no sense to me. I'm like, I think that's one of the best things about it. No one expects it.
We certainly didn't when you first started working here. We're like, the fuck is that? Yeah. Maybe her... Yeah. Is that like iPhone broken or like, stuck in the wrong Pandora channel?
Tomorrow we're going to see Rob Zombie. And
go.
I'm super stoked.
And that's probably like on the softer scale of your taste.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude's in his 50s, still crushing it.
He's still crushing it, yeah. He's still pretty fit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. What's funny is a lot of those old-time rockers, they actually stay really fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, outside of, like, you look at Mick Jagger, who I don't know if he's fit or not. He looks like a skeleton walking around, but it's better than being obese.
Nature, yeah.
Yeah. How old is he?
Like, I think late 60s.
Late 60s. Yeah. Let's go to...
Sure, the drugs added to his frailness.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But you would think... He's 72.
72. Wow.
Mick Jagger is 72.
Jesus, don't one of those guys, too, have to have like their blood drained and pumped back into him because they've done so Richard. Much drugs?
Keith
God
Richards.
Knows what else.
And is it true or is that alleged? Does he really have that?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's true.
Like the blood of 17-year-old boys pumped through his body is what I heard.
It's like that South Park.
That's not true. We're just joking. Mr. Richards, love your music. Jesus. What else we got going on? Any other topics? We actually do have some questions that have come through Twitter. Care if I pull some of these up?
No. Yes, actually.
Grr.
Bob's
mad now.
Bob's pissed off.
Pissed off.
What do we got? Hey, when is the muscle building book coming out? Soon. Very, very, very soon. Very soon. Check out the Instagram page. See what I'm talking about. Make sure you follow that. Make sure you share that. Make sure you send that to your friends. I know. Is it wearing off? I know. Through today. That's right. So Jake Casey says K-Man Coffee and the Dolce Way is going to get me through the day. That's right, Jake. Oh, Scott Fennel says, love the show. Unfair discussion of keto last time. Proper keto folks get plenty of fiber via leafy greens. I think, what's the recommendation? Anywhere between 30 to 40 grams of fiber per day?
It's usually 25 grams for women and 35 for men.
Yeah. So how many? That's a lot of leafy greens to get 35, 40 grams of fiber, right?
Yeah, because leafy greens have a good amount of fiber. It's usually your cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower have a higher fiber content.
I can
Bob.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
And nuts and seeds and,
Let's see here. So one cup of chopped broccoli is 2.4 grams. So that would be the equivalent of eating 12 to 15 cups of chopped broccoli a day.
That's a lot. Usually a good source of fiber is considered 5 grams or more per serving.
Yeah. And two cups of broccoli at a single meal, chopped broccoli, that's a lot. It really is. I probably have a cup per meal, and it's quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Let's look at, just say, spinach, which is just a common green. And wow. And a cup of spinach has 0.7 grams. So, Scott, and we're just speaking to you as a friend because I know you're a friend of the show. You might want to look into this a little bit more. And this is, we got Master Samantha Coogan here, Master of Science, registered dietitian. And you're not going to argue with her. Okay. No, but to be true, the keto diets, as we know, and if you live keto for a while, you start to feel like shit. You start to feel like shit, especially when you're training at max potential. I think that's another part, because we should always be living at our maximum potential, not just getting through the day. And I think that's part of what Sam and I were talking about, the sustainability. Can you go, kind of skew keto for a little while? Sure, no big deal. But you definitely need to kick up your fiber and maybe even supplement with fiber, though we're not huge supplement fans. We want to get from Whole Foods. But maybe I would go to an organic psyllium husk, which is one that we'll throw into the diets from time to time. But man, I don't think you're eating 15 cups of broccoli per day.
And I don't think we were bashing keto last time by any means. Like, you can do anything short term, but it's a very specific diet for a very specific condition for, epilepsy in children.
And that's not, while people are taking it just to get abs.
Yeah.
And what we spoke about was the lack of carbohydrates or glucose, which is the primary fuel source.
Yeah.
That's really what we're talking about. Not that, protein is bad or fat's bad. Lord knows we have more fats in our diet than most other nutrition programs. We have higher protein. Well, we go to about 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, which is more than the traditional RDA says for the average person. But we're not average people.
What did we even talk about in terms of fiber last time?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't.
But I know we probably said, it's low fiber and it's low carbohydrate.
Compared
and those are two essentials compared to others. Yeah. So we weren't bashing it. And what's funny? People started tagging me, basically saying to Dr. Lane Norton. Dr. Lane Norton has his PhD, I believe, in biochemistry. Very smart guy. Now, he's more of a macro dude, which is cool. And not certainly never bashed Lane. I think he's great. And I love a lot of what he says. But there is a departure where we have a very strong focus initially on micronutrients. We start at the micro level and we build out. Now, I don't know if Dr. Lane does that or not. Why I mention his name is because people were tagging him, essentially saying, Dolce says, all if it fits your macros followers, use steroids.
Jesus Christ, people.
And that is, and I went back and listened. That is so far from what I said. I said many do, especially those that pop up on my fucking Instagram account, certainly do. And I'm not going to name any specific names because that's not fair.
There's a correlation.
There's correlation. Correlation. And I also said, and I said it wasn't just steroids. I said it was supplements. It wasn't just the macro, if it fits your macro lifestyle, which I said is fine. And we did, Samantha. You and I said, that's fine. That's great. As long as you're filling in your micros. Mm-hmm. And we did say that they're also using supplements and fat burners. So it's not simply the nutrition component of the if it fits your macro lifestyle. They're also supplementing using quite possibly PEDs, performance enhancing drugs, quite possibly and probably over-the-counter supplements, which would be typically the bodybuilding style supplements, which is outside of just strict protein, because there's a sliding scale on how we actually judge that to be a true in sports enhancement supplement, like the nitric oxides, the pre-workouts, the fat burners, all of those things. That's what we're talking about. So we're not bashing the macro fitters. We're just saying macro people, you need to focus on your micros because you're not getting all everything out of your macros. And Samantha, you can go a little bit deeper on this. When people are not getting the proper micronutrients, what is happening to them on a macro level?
You can't properly metabolize any of the macronutrients without sufficient micronutrients. Like the B vitamins specifically are huge for carbohydrate metabolism. If you don't have a balance of all the little guys, you're never going to help build up the big guys, essentially. And there's a right and wrong way to do it if it fits your macros. There's plenty of people who do it properly.
Sure.
There's plenty of other people who do Pop-Tarts, pizza, and hamburgers to fit their macros for the day. So there's a right and wrong way to do it.
And that is what I determined to be a lazy way of doing it.
Yeah.
It's lazy, it's pop culture, and it's not in the interest of long-term health.
Yeah, it's a coping mechanism, I think, for someone mentally, like, oh, it fits my macro, so it's okay that I have this right now.
Yep, I can have a donut, I can have ice cream, I can have a Pop-Tart, and by itself, a single serving of that from time to time, no big deal, I don't care. I'd rather see you not do it. But at the same time, if you're training hard and that's an earned meal for you, no problem. But it shouldn't be a part of your daily lifestyle. And I see, you know, through social media constantly, people that are, I mean, they're eating ice cream and Pop-Tarts every day and then they're pointing to their abs.
Yeah.
And then they're also in another feed, they're pointing to all the supplements, the stack of supplements on their counter that they're also taking. So you can't truly attribute the abs to the macros.
Yeah, and the supplements aren't the best way to get your micros either.
No, and I'm talking about like the fat burners.
Yeah.
Almost always I see these fat burners, and there's companies, and I won't name names, that are built almost entirely on tricking people into fit their macros while also purchasing their 12 supplement stack or the 5 to 12 supplement stack.
And then the micronutrients too, they're really important because they act as cofactors and coenzymes for different enzymatic activity, which are basically just catalysts that kickstart reactions within the body. So we need the micros. We
can't. Absolutely.
I mean, forget the fact that you could develop some type of deficiency disease, like, you know, scurvy, for example, from a vitamin C deficiency. That's just one component of it. But you have deficiencies all across the board, then you're not metabolizing anything like you should be.
Yep. Boom. Do you fit macros, Bob?
Yeah.
Fit them in my mouth.
Yeah. I like donuts.
So, Scott, that's kind of the answer. Hopefully that helps you a little. Well, no, that's actually Scott. You're the keto guy. I just kind of went sideways on the macro discussion. So we got no problem with the macro people. We're just saying, guys, girls, focus on the micros. Make sure your micros are filled out first before you go and supplement with that donut on top.
Exactly.
Simple stuff. Yes. And we're a longevity company. It just so happens when you focus on longevity, sports performance and cosmetic improvement is a byproduct of that. When you focus on cosmetic and sports performance first, typically longevity suffers. Mm-hmm. And that makes, I mean, that's just common sense, everybody listening. So don't be bashing. And we're fans of Dr. Lane. So yeah, I'd love to get, actually, we tried to get him on the show last year, but his travel schedule is insane. We couldn't lock him down. So hopefully we'll get him on by the end of the year or beginning of this year, because I'd love for him to go a little bit deeper. And I'm sure you guys miscategorize him also, because he's too smart to be just a strict macro dude. And I know he's filling in his micros. So, you know, it's a mischaracterization. And that's unfortunately what most people do. They try and take this content or these sound bites and they fit it into their own lifestyle just so they can get retweets.
Yeah. Don't twist it. Don't pause the podcast in certain parts and pick it back up.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. Any truth to the health benefits of drinking vinegar or apple cider vinegar? Samantha.
I've used it as like a home remedy for stuff like a sore throat or sore ear. Like for swimmer's ear,
sure.
Things like that. I'm not particularly a fan of the taste, and I'll use it like here and there in the ingredients for dressing. But I mean, it's a nice detox.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps with detoxification. So.
Yeah. And we know people, a couple of our athletes actually that have, digestive issues, let's say, no names, of course, but apple cider vinegar is great for easing digestion, great for digestive issues, hiccups. It's an odd home remedy. Apple cider vinegar is awesome for that, or just chewing on an apple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the science behind it. It was an old wives' tale that I was able to pick up. And one of the athletes, they were popping Pepcid, whatever it is, to try and get rid of hiccups. Boom, just started chomping on an apple. They went away immediately.
Yeah, and everyone's different, you know,
for sure.
Obviously. So.
For sure. Miguel says, thoughts on adding some Dolce Whey to the breakfast bowl? Absolutely.
Duh.
Delicious.
Drink that shit.
Drink that shit. It make that the power smoothie on the back of the bag. It is awesome. It's what I think we have: one whole banana, a quarter cup of oats, one scoop of Dolce Whey,
one tablespoon of almond butter, one tablespoon chia seeds, one tablespoon of
hemp seeds with 12 to 16 ounces of water. And it's best if it's cold. I prefer it best if it's cold. So
I also add, I think it's a quarter cup of goji berries and a handful of spinach to mine.
Ooh, look at Bob.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Can't even taste the difference.
Can't taste
super
those.
Super good. Super delicious.
And look at you upping your micronutrients.
Micros.
Micros.
Donuts.
Andy says, I've been concentrating on running, but need to get back to strength training. Suggestions, RD8, UFC Fit, or Living Lean routine. Andy, I would definitely say do the Living Lean, not saying anything about Fit, but I believe you've used Fit before. Jump into the Living Lean routine. Hop on thedolcediet.com, click on Join Now. You'll see the Living Lean routine plus the additional 4 weeks of 3 weeks to Shredded. That's 3 weeks to Shredded plus a bonus week. So it's a 12-week program. Jump on that. Two distinctly different exercise programs. And what I would suggest first is go through the 8 weeks of Living Lean and then finish that off with the 4 weeks of 3 weeks of Shredded and just watch how your body changes. This is very strength-based, very resistance-based. We also have morning cardio, short-term 20-minute HIIT built in there through what we call the 20-minute morning workout. So it's a very easy schedule to follow. The workouts are short and intense, and you will build that body. You'll burn body fat. You'll build muscle, and you'll be super healthy. I think you're going to love the meal plan that's built, and it's personalized exactly for you.
And don't neglect the body weight exercises too. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize that there is some resistance to body weight movements. Push-ups.
Sure.
You know, anytime you're moving your own body weight around, that's still resistance training. It doesn't have to always have a barbell.
No, absolutely. And that's what we talk about when we scale. We always scale starting with body weight first. If you can't do 100 body weight squats, you truly have no business adding load, adding weight. Mm-hmm. Bang out 100 perfect form body weight squats, and you can do 10, take a few breaths, do 10, take a few, and get that done. Then you can start adding weight. But if you struggle and you strain, if you can't get past 40, well, we need to perfect that first, and you need to have perfect form so you have the proper range of motion, flexibility, and endurance to add load and keep form. It's all about form. We never add weight unless our form is perfect.
And the more you do strength training, your endurance will increase. I mean, the longer time you're under tension, like, you don't have to just sit on a treadmill to increase your endurance.
Yeah, that's bleh. That's horrible. I call it cardio butt.
Ugh.
Yeah, you don't want to get that cardio butt.
No.
All of a sudden, ladies.
No thigh gaps either.
No thigh gaps either. Those thighs should be pressed tightly against each other when you're standing with a wide stance. That means you got muscle built up in there.
Quads,
baby. Yeah, don't have cardio butt. Nobody wants. And that's not you, Andy. I'm just talking in general to the audience now. Cardio butt is basically you de-emphasize the musculature of the body, specifically the lower body, definitely in the glutes. So what happens, your butt begins to sag. And then you start breaking down muscle tissue. So now the muscle isn't toned. It's not tight. It's not taut. And then it begins to shrink. And what happens, even if you're not gaining additional body fat, your butt becomes saggy. And, you know, sloppy. And more ladies are concerned about that than guys. But once you're actually doing full depth squats all the way down, that butt gets tight. So whether you lose body fat or not, all of a sudden you get that nice, tight, round backside, which becomes more powerful. So you can start adding more muscle. The more muscle you have, the higher your BMR, your basal metabolic rate is, the more calories you're burning at rest. Therefore, as long as you're building muscle, if you don't increase calories, you're burning body fat. And oftentimes you'll increase your calories and continue building muscle and burning body fat. It's fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. So now you get to eat more, build more muscle, and get leaner and look better. People don't get that. And I call it the high school cheerleader diet. It's like energy drink and a bagel in the morning, a couple cigarettes in the afternoon.
Oh, no. At my high school, three of them used to share a Slim Fast.
Ugh, three girls would share a single Slim Fast.
Three straws in a Slim Fast can.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Silly girls. Silly girls. Come on now. All right. James Patterson asks, how often do you add organ meats to your diet? That's actually a good question. Not often here, just simply because I'm not skilled at preparing organ meats. When I'm at a place that is serving, you know, livers and things like that, yeah, I'll definitely eat them. But, you know, it's not something I do eat all the time, I must say, just because I'm not very good at cooking it, because mine tastes too gamey and it's just not pleasant.
Yeah, I think it's just a preference thing too. And with organ meats, you do have to be a little careful of vitamin A content. Like liver, for most animals, there's a lot of vitamin A stored in liver, and vitamin A is one of the vitamins it's easiest to have a toxicity from.
Okay.
And long-term complications could cause death with a vitamin A toxicity.
What organ meats would be safer to eat?
Hearts? Hearts, tongues.
Whoa. Pop's like, Pop's throwing up.
I'm not a fan of organ meats because of the texture. So.
Yeah, it is definitely acquired. So though there's lots of health benefits at the same time, you know, the sustainability of just being okay with eating it and knowing how to prepare it in a healthy manner that's tasty.
Yeah, like once in a while would be fine. If you're having like liver every day, though, you would put yourself at a risk for toxicity for sure.
Okay. Another individual asks, Samantha, dietary suggestions for epileptics. I follow the Dolce diet, but are there any specific foods I should be consuming?
Actually, going back to the ketogenic
yep.
diet is actually one of the the medical nutrition therapies that we would recommend for someone with epilepsy. Just going high fat, so because the fat is so important for brain function.
Okay.
Obviously, we need the carbohydrates to keep it running properly, but fat is really important for proper brain development. So things like avocados, any of your like monounsaturated fats, nuts, seeds, you know, lean poultry and stuff like that, because there's a little bit of fat content to it. Things like olive oils, grapeseed oils, stuff like that.
Okay, so more of a high fat. And then how would you suggest this individual get additional fiber?
So go back to cruciferous vegetables, so broccoli, cauliflower, that type of thing. Nuts and seeds, again, yep. are great for fiber, especially seeds like chia seeds, hemp seeds.
There we go.
Shelled sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds.
Perfect. And so now reading on the... the Mike Dolce Show Twitter account. Hey, mate. Oh, no. I lost it already. Your thoughts on... Sorry, guys. Sorry, looking for... There we go. Hey, mate. When you're in Melbourne, have a Kings Island beef steak, grass-fed, hormone-free, happiest cows around. Okay, that wasn't exactly a question. That was a comment. Thank you. But yeah, I will try that. That sounds great. What else do we have? Just lots of... Daniel Price says, just heard the latest show. Big thank you for answering my question and all you do. Really appreciate it. Awesome, Daniel. Yeah, that was great. Justin Thomas Nixon says, very funny, insightful, and useful episodes on diets. Mike Dolce Show, this explains what we should truly do to be in shape. Hey, we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's what we try. We try and have fun. Evelyn says, yay, I love Sam on the podcast.
Aw, thank you. Just me.
Brandy says, boo. I hate Bob on the podcast.
Wait a minute.
I think we already answered this about Joe. That was, yeah, intermittent fasting and such, so we already touched that. Scott Fennell, and they get... Oh, okay. So Scott Fennell came back and said from the unfair keto discussion that the macro fitters get plenty of energy via proper macro ratio, but many folks do overdo the protein, thwarting ketones. And I think we answered that for you, Scott. Our concern wasn't so much about the balance of macros. It was more about the minimized intake of micros.
Yeah,
that's really the main concern. And also just the over ingestion of processed foods.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, Pop-Tarts are not good for... We know Pop-Tarts are not good for you. Just read the ingredient list. I know.
What? Damn it.
Crazy talk. Sure? Crazy talk.
But breakfast is so important.
Pop-Tarts for breakfast. Exactly. And that's kind of... I think that we didn't really touch on that. It's just eating, and I think the World Health Order, their input is actually important in this discussion, is the over consumption of processed foods. That's some of, not all, some of, whether it's 1 or 100 out of 100, some of those are eating processed foods when they shouldn't. And what was the doctor from Harvard who actually discussed processed sugars being extremely difficult for the body and actually causing long-term health issues as well as the accumulation of body fat. So, I mean, there's more than enough science out there, solid science out there, and it's just practical. It's common sense. Come on. We know, I mean, ice creams and cake, Twinkies, Pop-Tarts, all that shit. A little treat time and again, for sure. Have fun. Daily. Come on, guys. Yeah.
But it's breakfast.
It's breakfast. I saw the commercial.
It's so important.
I was watching my cartoons.
Put it in a toaster.
Exactly. It's in a toaster.
I cooked it.
So fast. All right, guys. What else do we have here? Anything else? Nothing to add? Nothing else grinds Bob's gears?
There's a lot that grinds my gears. It's just a matter of how much do I want to express to the public.
They want to hear everything.
I don't know about that.
What pissed you off most today?
In the last hour.
Really, really, yeah.
Probably me. I'm sure. Mike's face.
Yeah, actually, when Mike walked in, I got really angry, like, for some reason. Must have been his face.
Exactly.
Driving to work today, some lady just driving, just
the song in Bob's head.
Yeah, driving down the road, and then all of a sudden, this like maroon freaking Toyota starts like merging into my lane, and then so me being me from New Jersey, we're very
aggressive.
road rage pro-minded, proactive. I start laying on my horn, and I'm like, "What are you doing, lady?" And then she has the audacity to look at me like I'm the asshole, and I'm like, "Do you not realize you almost just killed us both and the 100 people behind us because you're an idiot not looking where you're going?"
Was she texting?
I don't know.
Was she putting on makeup?
I just know she is not too good at driving.
There we go.
I'm an aggressive driver also, though.
You have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
You got to use that horn or else it wouldn't be in the car.
And that's one of the things coming from Jersey that we've lived in Oregon, we've lived in California, we live in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Not many people use the horn like you do from Jersey.
Nobody. And for some reason, too, when you're at a left, turning left or at a turning left at a red light and there's two lanes, everybody seems just to like stockpile in one fucking lane.
Yeah.
There's two lanes, people.
Yeah.
Going to the left lane. There's no cars there.
Yeah.
It's made for a reason for you to turn left. Don't you fucking stay in the right left lane. Yeah. Get in both lanes.
Yep. Yeah,
traffic will run a lot smoother.
Yeah.
When I grinds my gears. When I'm coming up to an intersection and I got to make a right turn and I'm in the right turn lane and you get some dickhead in front of you that's in the right turn lane going straight because he's trying to beat the line of traffic in the two lanes next to him. So what does he do? He causes up a backlog of all of us that want to make a right turn. So now we got to essentially wait two full lights in order to get past this fucking dickhead who's probably smoking a cigarette or texting his... I'm going to stop right here.
We'll just say making very smart choices.
Making bad choices. Yeah, smart choices with his day.
Staying in the right
lane. The worst is just the four-way stop. Like, just the four-way stop here at this office.
Yeah.
He's gotten killed like three times.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm like, when did you arrive?
Yeah.
Is it your turn yet? Are you on the right?
Yep.
No.
No.
To all of those questions.
Super easy. One go, one stop. One go, one stop.
Yep. And it's like one go, one stop. And if it's in that case, then it goes to the right.
Yeah.
Everybody goes around.
If I'm turning left and they're coming straight, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yep.
They don't get T-boned.
Don't fucking get it. So when you get out, do you make a right out of the parking lot and right onto Buffalo to get onto the 215?
Yeah, when I'm leaving.
Okay.
Yeah. That's easy.
That's easy.
Coming from here, so getting off at Buffalo, making a left, or excuse me, Buffalo, and then making a left onto Sunset, that four-way stop, oh my God.
And it's early in the morning, so you get all the idiots rushing to work.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just idiots.
What way do you get here? You take the 215, you take 4 to Apache.
I get off at Buffalo.
It's a little quicker that way, right?
Yeah. Today, I probably should have gotten off an exit earlier because of the really smart woman.
Yeah.
What road was that on?
That was on 215, and we're doing 75 miles an hour, so it's a great time to not look while you're switching lanes.
I guaranteed, and now this is what I see a lot of times in the morning, and guys have their bad thing that they do. I see a lot of women putting their makeup on.
Yeah.
I see almost every morning I see it, and it's the scariest damn thing.
I don't know how they
just
do
wake
it.
Up 10 minutes earlier. It'll solve all the problems.
How do you?
I have no idea how they do that.
Like,
no idea.
I can barely look at my odometer while I'm driving. I got to be like hands at the 10 and 2 position, looking straight forward because there's so many idiots out there. And you see people, I see, and again, it's not gender bias at all. Mm-hmm. It's just I see it every day that I'm, you know, going to work or out of the house before 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. I see a lady putting makeup on and it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
What does she look at? How, I mean, it's a skill to a degree. Because there's no dent in her car.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's scary as hell.
A wand, I mean, I poke myself in the eye when I'm doing it standing up straight.
I'm in my bathroom.
So I have no idea how to do it.
I don't know how they do it. And then I've seen one lady doing it. She's got the cell phone on her shoulder. She's talking on the cell phone, and she's putting lipstick on or something while driving first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I'll see that. I'm like, where are the cops?
Where are the cops?
Where's your cell phone ticket?
Yeah. Just makes citizen's arrest. Right?
The other day I was coming here, and there was traffic. So some genius decided he would use the shoulder. Oh, Elaine, just for you.
Just for you.
And I was like, please, please, cop. Like 2 minutes later, whoop, whoop. I'm like, yes. Finally. Yeah. Like when you see that instant karma, the best.
And now all of a sudden, your big rush to get there, no more.
So funny.
Or the dickhead that tries to like fight you and zoom past you and cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you both pull up at the same time.
You pull up at the same damn light.
That happened to me this morning.
Awesome.
Getting off the 215.
Yep.
I wasn't going fast enough, apparently, on the ramp. Cuts me off. I'm like, oh, look.
On the ramp?
I ended up. Yeah.
Oh.
The ramp. I'm trying to get over to the right so I can make a right onto Buffalo.
Yep.
And I think it was a Mercedes or Lexus, so it was above my pay grade. So apparently that made them better.
Of course.
And then slow as shit.
Of course.
Like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
Of course. Did you give them the look?
No, I was right on their bumper.
Right on their bumper.
Because then I love that too, because they look back and then they probably see, you know, see me.
Yeah. Like, that didn't get me anywhere.
Why is she so angry?
Yeah.
Why is she so little?
Why is she so little? Cool. All right, guys. Thank you all very much. Once again, another fun show. And I'll be doing quite a few shows from Australia, where we will be with Miss Ronda Rousey getting ready to defend her world title. And then South Korea with Mr. Thiago Alves fighting Ben Henderson in the main event of UFC Korea November 28th. So November 14th, November 28th, we'll be doing shows from the road. We'll be calling in. We'll do so I can call in to you guys here just through Skype so we can hook you guys up. Boom. I'll show you the hookup so we can have more Dolce family fun on the Mike Dolce Show.
Everybody have a safe Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. What are you giving? This is what the whole point of the podcast today. I got so busy talking about how strong I am in the beginning. what are you giving to people? To kids or whoever?
Probably little boxes of raisins.
Okay.
I hate to be that person, but it's just so much better.
It is so much better. Agreed. Bob, dirty looks.
I'll be nice and give little satchels of pennies.
Little satchels of pennies? Okay.
Remember when you were a kid and you hate that? You hated that.
Yeah.
We always had these two neighbors on our street that always gave us pennies, and I'd get home and be so mad because he couldn't eat them.
And you couldn't really buy much for him.
Buy nothing with them. It's like, why are you giving me this shit, lady?
Shit, lady. It's a weapon now.
It is.
Yeah. So now I'm going to throw them at your car when you drive past me, and I'm going to throw them at your house.
Nice. And what that probably does is after a while, we just stop going to those houses. Like, that's the penny lady. Fuck her.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the guy with the full-size Hershey bars.
Yeah. And you wonder why I'm so mad.
Maybe next year they won't come back to me.
Yeah.
That bitch gave me raisins.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? Brandy got... these like glow, kind of like glow sticks, but they're like bracelets and necklaces. She thought that would be fun, that it's not quite, it's something that kids would probably like put on and have fun. And it's like reflective. Yeah. So like the parents, she's always thinking like, she doesn't really care about the kids. Brandy cares more about what would the parents want their kids to have.
Yeah.
So of course we're not going to be giving out candy. From previous years, we had given out different type of, natural, bars, like, you know, oat berry bars, things like that, flavored bars, natural and stuff. This year we're not doing that. We're going to this like a toy. We're giving away these little toys.
Toys are a good alternative because it just takes all the guesswork out. You don't have to worry about allergies or any of that BS.
Yeah. And you know, we're not going to like you said, if you're listening, don't make food.
No.
Don't. Because that shit's getting thrown out. All your hard work, no matter how good it is and good your intentions are, nobody's eating that.
No.
And it's creepy.
It's creepy.
2 years ago, I think there was some neighborhood, there were like razors and everything. Like purposely, you know, purposefully being put into there. So like, yeah, why would you
do that?
Would you want your kids to eat something that someone else made?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's shit, that's going to get linked back to you now.
Oh, yeah.
With this, the common error of cell phones and cameras and GPS, parents are going to know exactly what house you were you're at.
Yeah.
Your ass should be going to jail.
Yeah.
So just think about what you do give stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Try and think about the children. Try and think about the parents. What do you want your kids eating? I know these kids are going to go out and they're get these bags of fucking candy. And when your kids do, really be diligent in taking some of that candy and rationing it and not letting your kids just sit there and eat 40 fucking candy bars and just get god-awful sick and, you know, I mean... risk all sorts of blood sugar issues.
Yeah.
Just create, you know, all sorts of distress. And then you're gonna have to deal with crazy fucking kids bouncing around your house for about 3-4 hours.
Your dentist will appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Keep your dentist driving that Benz. Good stuff. All right, everybody. Thank you all. We appreciate you. It's always fun getting on speaking with you, and we'll be back again here real soon. Any thank yous, good stuff? Nope. That's it. All right, guys. Thank you all, and talk soon. Remember, don't count calories. Make calories count. Boom!